Because on a Wednesday,
this is an NUT Radio podcast.
Associates, and today we're joined by Adila, joining us this morning and speaking about a very important topic, which is AI, artificial intelligence and law. Basically, looking at the introduction of AI in law and how it can be used, and just clarify some of the myths on not needing lawyers anymore. Adila will tell us more about that on today's session. Adila, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Morning, Aweto. Morning, all the listeners. I'm really excited to dive into AI today.
Thank you so much for joining us. Maybe if you can just tell us, what is artificial intelligence for those who might not know about the AI?
Yeah, so just a little bit about artificial intelligence is that it's basically technology, but this technology can actually process information and it generates responses in a way that actually mimics the way human beings think. So what it does is it actually analyzes certain information that you put in and it will learn patterns and generate responses or decisions, but usually it would require some human intelligence, but with artificial intelligence, it actually just processes that information for you.
So Adila, is artificial intelligence new or has it been something around for quite some time now?
Yeah, so that's a really good question because a lot of people actually think it's been around recently because of tools like ChatGPT, but it's been around for a really long time. The only main difference is how recently it's become really advanced and accessible. So now the general public actually has tools like ChatGPT where they're all using it. So I know if I mention ChatGPT, all the listeners will know about it because it's so common and it's literally everywhere.
Definitely. You know, because at MUT, we work mostly around students. You often hear students speaking about AI, how they apply it on their books and everything, and on their studies, rather. But I'm just interested in at how you guys, lawyers, apply this artificial intelligence, or how are you guys using it as lawyers?
Yes, I think we have to touch on that because when you spoke about university students using it, it can become quite dangerous in that regard. And so in law firms, we have an even higher standard when we're using these AI models to ensure that we're using it correctly. So we do use it in our everyday legal work in maybe places people won't really notice as much, but for years, law firms have actually used specialized software, which is kind of a form of AI. And we used it to search things like case law, maybe review certain documents. We even used to put in, there was tools that you could scan thousands of documents during like a litigation or trial and pick out maybe what's relevant. And what that would do is save us a lot of manual effort. But now the difference is, which I mentioned earlier, is how accessible AI has become. So instead of really using as much complex systems, we now just type in a question and get an answer. And that's why it's such a sudden shift and there's more of a responsibility on us to ensure this information we're using is accurate. So that's why there's a lot of checks we need to do and so on.
Definitely.
It's really about just saving time and improving efficiency, essentially. So using it as a tool. And I feel like I can't stress it enough that it's a tool.
Yes.
That's just supposed to help.
Definitely. I was coming to that one and yeah, I like the fact that you mentioned it, saving time and money. I was going to ask about the benefits now of artificial intelligence.
Yes, so one of the benefits of artificial intelligence is really the saving time and money. As everyone will know, when it comes to lawyers, we do charge our billable time. So it's obviously we charge per hour or all the time we use to spend on a matter. So what we try and do is we use these artificial intelligence tools for the more mundane tasks. So instead of something maybe taking 15 minutes to do something that's like just summarizing a small paragraph of something, but we know what we're looking for, then we're spending more, less billable time, and in turn, we're charging our clients less. So it's actually just helping all around.
Definitely. It sounds helpful, Adelie, but is it always reliable, AI?
No. So that's why I keep mentioning it as a tool. And the reason why is there are obviously a lot of benefits, which I have mentioned, but with the benefits, there are a lot of imperfections in the model. And so it's not perfect. So I think it's really important to touch on what it is and how it works. So it works by actually predicting and generating responses, but it's based on patterns. So if you type in something and it generates the wrong answer, next time it might actually, someone might ask that question and it also generates the incorrect answer because it's working on patterns. And the more you question it, the better the site becomes. So it doesn't actually understand things the way a human is going to. So sometimes it sounds super confident and it is completely wrong. And that's why when it gives that information, you need to go and verify with actual sources, because it could be giving you a case that doesn't exist. It could be drafting, like if you're asking it a question about a specific topic, you don't know that it's actually correct. And that's why it's very concerning at times.
I guess now, since you are speaking about the reliability of AI, now I want us to go to the pitfalls of artificial intelligence. You told us about the benefits, but what are some of the pitfalls of this tool, as you are saying, artificial intelligence?
So there are a lot of pitfalls, and I think one of the reason why there's so much pitfalls is people are relying on artificial intelligence and all of these different models that came out a little bit too much. So they're looking at it as a way to escape doing some of the work, when in actual fact, it's just supposed to enhance the work you are doing.
True. For example, I like that point, yeah.
And that's also like with the listeners, if they're during university and things, you shouldn't be using it to replace the work you need to do. It's just now your quality of work is going to get a bit better. So just to touch on that pitfalls, one of the biggest ones is the errors. I know there's been, in the legal space, there's been times where people have asked it to generate cases on a specific topic. And instead of then taking those cases and going on to sites like Juto, LexisNexis, those are the sites we use to just get our cases and legislation from, they will just take the cases and use it in their drafting. And when they get to court, the magistrate or the judge will be like, that case doesn't exist. Now, that's quite embarrassing, because that just means you took it off these sites and you didn't actually go and verify, firstly, does this case even exist? Secondly, what is the case about? Because it could say, I could ask it for a topic on maybe a certain type of policy, and it might not even deal with that. So that's why it's so important to go and verify that.
The information, and then, yeah.
100%. And then the confidentiality part of it. I don't know if you saw a way to when a lot of people were putting in this information, and they were like, ChatGPT, from everything you know about me, can you generate a picture on my life?
Yes.
And the pictures were like a little bit scary in the sense that it was so accurate. So that just shows that whenever you ask a question on these sites, it saves everything. So if you're uploading personal information, that information is not going anywhere. It's going to stay there for a really long time, or even forever. It literally stores the information. And that's why we're very careful at Nubbin Associates about putting in client information. We don't put in any sort of personal information of our clients on there, because if we're asking questions, if we're getting some information on topics, we would never put in personal information.
Yeah.
And in that regard, it's really important that companies actually have AI policies in place when using these sites. What are they doing to protect the client's information?
A lot of people. Yes. You can carry on, Adla.
Sorry, there was one more thing that I thought was really important, is the impact on, I say, the youth today, because a lot of whether it's university, school, or in our profession, a lot of people are now, like I spoke about earlier, they're over relying on these AI tools, and they're not really applying their mind at all. And it really does show in certain aspects, and we should never be using it to replace us actually thinking.
Mm. Definitely, because a lot of people are saying AI is here to replace us, and a lot of things that it's doing. Now, I just want to ask about the myth that AI will replace lawyers. Yeah. What is your take on that one?
So this is actually a really funny one, because a lot of people do say it's going to replace a lot of careers, but I don't actually think it's going to replace lawyers. And the reason why is, like I mentioned, it generates based on patterns. So when we give advice, we're obviously giving it based on understanding the client, understanding all the legislation that goes behind it. We obviously study for years to be able to actually interpret the law and apply it. So a model's not going to be able to do that. Yes, it can give you information on topics, but replacing, I don't see it happening. Not just saying it because it's my job, but it's more there to help with the mundane administrative side of the legal work. So instead of replacing it, I more look at it as supporting us in our work. And that leaves free time to work on more complex thinking instead of now just fully relying on this site.
You know, Adela, a lot of people would say that, you know, I can afford lawyers and all that. Now there's AI. Maybe I can seek some advice from AI. What is your take, or how do you feel about people asking for artificial intelligence, asking artificial intelligence for legal advice?
I think this is a little bit, it's I don't see it as a problem for them to ask these AI models for just a broader understanding of different concepts, like what does these words mean, or what does these legal words mean, or what is a rough overview of a topic. But it becomes really risky when they're asking it for actual advice, because like I mentioned earlier, the AI model isn't applying that to your specific situation, number one. And number two is it's generating patterns. So it's like 90% of the time going to be wrong when it comes to giving advice, as you can say. Even at the bottom of, I don't know if you notice, if you ask it a question, whether it's like a medical question or a legal question, and you're asking for advice, there's always a disclaimer at the bottom that will say you need to consult a legal professional. If you're asking a question about your health, they're going to say you need to consult a doctor, because this is obviously just giving you a broad overview of a topic. So a lot of people will come to us and actually say like, oh, but ChatGPT said this. And then you have to like explain to them why it said this specific thing. It's not just because they're speaking on a broader topic. They're not speaking to your situation, number one. And they could also be giving advice based on a law that was 5 years ago because it hasn't been updated.
Yes.
And that might not apply today because there's new legislation that maybe changed what the outcome of something's going to be. So relying on it for advice, I would never suggest you do that.
Definitely. Maybe let's request for your advice as a lawyer, Adela. Maybe your advice to the listeners?
Yeah, so if I could leave the listeners with one thought from this interview, it's that you need to treat artificial intelligence as a guide. Never trust it as the final answer, because like I mentioned, there's a lot of, it's generating based on patterns, so there's a lot of issues that it's not fully addressing, and it's making a lot of mistakes in that regard. And then when it comes more specifically to legal advice, you need to rather phone and speak to a legal expert instead of taking advice. And of course, if you do need that assistance, you must the listeners must feel free to contact our offices, and we can apply the information. We can apply what they need advice onto their specific situation, and not just what ChatGPT basically does.
Definitely.
Very broad.
No, thank you so much, Adela. We really appreciate your time. Seems like we're out of time, but if you can just tell us, lastly, how do we contact you to assist us with AI-related issues or any other issue that you might cover as Mlambo and Associates? How do we contact you?
So if the listeners want to contact our office, they can do so on 010-502-0626. And if they want to pop us an email, they can do that at info@mlambolegal.co.za.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.